Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We're studying an amazing little book, the Gospel of Mark, inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's all about Jesus, and it's our prayer that during this series that you will draw closer to Jesus than ever before. I'm particularly excited today because one of our team members, Sabina, is going to be leading our study. What a great topic on the parables of Jesus and these stories which have deeper lessons for our lives today. So welcome to Hope Sabbath School. Welcome to the team. Good to see you all again. We're thankful for each one of you. Just take a look at each other. Notice we represent many different cultures and backgrounds, speak many different languages. We've got some remotes with us too. Shana, always good to have you with us. Glad you're here. Jorge, good to have you back. Glad you're with us again. And Leah, great to see you. I really appreciate our remote team members. And I appreciate you. You say, Derek, I'm part of the team too. Absolutely, you are. And we love to hear from you. You can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. And let us know how God's blessing you through a study of His Word. And maybe you're saying, Derek, I started a class. And here's what God's doing. We'd love to hear from you. Here's a note from Wildor in Haiti. Wildor writes and says, hello, Hope Sabbath School.
Hello.
You know why they say that, right? So you can get the wave. I've been following you on YouTube since 2019. Mm-hmm. So that's a few years. Do you know we're over 110,000 subscribers on our YouTube channel already? And we hear from different parts of the world. Some people can access easier on YouTube. You can obviously go to our website, or if you're in North America, you can go to DirecTV, Channel 368, or you can get our Hope Channel app, and there's many different languages available there too. But Haiti, well, YouTube, since 2019, I watch every Friday night. You'll find me nowhere else but on YouTube, watching Hope Sabbath School.
Amen.
Is it good to watch Hope Sabbath School on YouTube on Friday night?
Amen.
Well, what did Jesus say in our previous study? That it's good to do good on the Sabbath day, right?
Right.
Yes.
Absolutely. I like what Wilder says now. If me, who is a sinner, can appreciate what you're doing, no need to ask what the Almighty feels about you. I really feel like a member of the team because sometimes I push pause on the program so I can answer one of the questions. I really appreciate you all. Please pray for my country of Haiti. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Isn't that beautiful? That's just one of millions of people watching and learning more about Jesus. Here is a note from Emmanuel. We had another Emmanuel watching from Saudi Arabia. Here's an Emmanuel in Liberia. Where's Liberia, anybody?
West Africa.
I joined this class in January of 2024 on YouTube. And I really enjoy the Bible teaching. I am learning a lot. May God bless you as you continue to teach us the Word of God.
Amen.
Have you noticed we're continuing to get more and more participants in our Hope Sabbath School family?
Mm-hmm.
Here's a little handwritten note from a donor couple in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. That's kind of in the heart of the United States of America. It says, we've been watching Hope Sabbath School for the past few months. Mm-hmm. And we're so thankful to have found you. What a blessing this has been for us. The interactive panel, the mix of panelists, is very effective method of presentation. We so enjoy all of you. Thank you so much for teaching the Word of God. We enclose a donation along with our prayers for all of you.
Amen.
And a gift of $50.
Amen.
From a couple in Oklahoma saying we want to be part of the miracle. I want to thank you, donor couple in Oklahoma. You know who you are. I want to thank each one of you who've said, I want to be part of the miracle. You can go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS, click on the donate button, or get an address and write to us. You say, Derek, will it make a difference? Absolutely. It will make a difference for people in Haiti. who need to hear the word of God right now. It will make a difference for people in Liberia who need to hear the word of God. You say, you just read emails from them. That's right. Here's one last email from Unella in Canada. Unella writes, "Hello, Hope Sabbath School.
Hello.
Hello.
Hope Sabbath School is a blessing to me. Keep up the good work. Jesus is coming soon."
Amen.
And we agree with you, Unella, and we're glad that you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. Well, before we sing our theme song, I want to remind you about the special gift for this series, because the series on Mark is not just information about Jesus. We want you to take steps closer and closer to Jesus every day. So we have a free gift. It's a little book, powerful book, called Steps to Christ. You can go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. Click on the free gift tab. It's available in more than 100 languages, a digital copy. You can download, read, take those steps closer and closer to Jesus than ever before. He's coming soon. He wants you to welcome him with joy. And today, we're going to learn from stories of Jesus how much God loves you. But right now, we need you to sing our theme song. It's 3,000 years old, but I'm thankful that my wife gave us a tune so we can sing it. I will bless the Lord at all times. Let's sing together.
Bless the Lord at all times, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. I will bless the Lord at all times, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. I will bless the Lord at all times, praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together.
You know, I was thinking, Sabina, how amazing it is that boys and girls, men and women around the world are singing with us.
Right.
And some of you have beautiful voices, I'm sure. And you say, Derek, how come you're singing? Well, we're just singing because we just want to bless the Lord, right?
Yes.
At all times. Yes. And let his praise be on our lips. We want to praise him as you lead us in our study today.
Amen. Yes, let's praise our Lord for the chance that we get here to study together. And we're going to start with prayer. Amen. Dear God, thank you so much for the beautiful opportunity you are giving us to stand here in this studio and turn to you, turn to your word and learn from the beautiful messages that you left to a people that you loved so much. That you wanted them to understand and to see you in every single aspect of nature, of life, but most importantly, all the signs you had already given them, you just wanted them to surrender to you. And today, as we make this lesson also applicable to our lives and to each one who will be watching, I pray for a special blessing. a blessing of open hearts and open ears, the blessing of those who are receptive to see and to live truth. And I pray that in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. You know, a couple of weeks ago, my mom was sharing with me this very interesting story of a sailor in Brazil. He's called Amir Klink. And he got very famous because he was able to cross the Atlantic Ocean in a rowing boat. And more recently, his daughter as well, who is now 25 years old, she decided that she wanted to start her own journeys across the oceans, okay? And the first thing that she did, she turned to her dad and she requested, if possible, if her dad could give her a boat. So she, because knowing of his ability and knowledge of the boats, and the answer the father gave was, no, I'm not going to give you a boat. And that's because if you do not build your own boat, if you're not able to, you know, understand every single part of this boat, this is going to be a disaster for you. Because when you find yourself in the middle of the ocean, the lack of practice in building up that knowledge about the boat and everything related to it will be your lifeline. And I don't want to be responsible for your death.
Wow.
And so today, as we turn to these parables, I want to challenge you to consider the ways in which God also wants to stretch us further. Okay, you understand the maker of the universe. How is it that he works with us? And that sometimes our, you know, laziness to truly seek his face and to open our hearts may be our lifelines. God, he doesn't always just give everything, you know, for us to see, because we in our natures, we tend to become complacent. Okay, and I see here this as part of God's strategy to break through the hearts of people who were really hard to hear, that he wanted to reach to a point of curiosity, a point of desire. And let's look at some of those parables that he left to them and to us as well, and see if we can build our own boats in faith. Amen.
Amen.
So to begin with it, I'd like to ask maybe Raquel, if you can lead us to the book of Mark chapter 4, and we are going to initiate our study reading verses 33 and 34, Raquel. And to our friends here in the panel, I would like you to be considering already from this reading, how significant were the parables in the teachings of Jesus?
I will be reading from the New International Version, and it says, "With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything."
Okay. So how important were the parables in the teaching of Jesus? Any thoughts? Yes, Gladys.
Well, he wanted that. He wanted to tell the truth in a way that I guess it will be relatable to them as well. But like he said in his word, that those that can hear, they will hear, and those that refuse to hear will not hear. But he wanted to make sure that his disciples understood the lesson. So that's why the last part of the verse says that he explained everything plainly to them, because it was important that they will understand the mystery of heaven.
Okay, let's consider further. Okay, Puya, do you have any thoughts you want to share?
Yes, you know, there's something about stories. Yeah, someone may not be able to read or especially in that time and culture where most people were not privileged to go to school and learn, stories probably would be the easiest way to remember what Jesus taught. You know, this happens even today. If you go listen to someone preach for 1 hour, you may not be able to remember whatever that preacher was preaching for the 1 hour. But if the preacher shared stories and parables, it's easier to remember those main points through the stories.
Okay, well, I'd like us to continue a little further. Yes,
I just want to give one word.
Yes.
Essential.
Essential, exactly.
You're telling us the blessings of them, but you said how important. The answer is essential.
Exactly.
It says he didn't teach anything without a parable. So for some reason, I think Puya gave one of the answers there that it was easy to remember. And he wanted everyone with an open heart to understand. But we would have to conclude that it was essential in the teaching of Jesus.
It was a very special way.
Right?
And we see that registered in the three here, not only in this gospel, but in the other three gospels as well. What can we learn from the fact that Mark specifically, you know, he didn't record as many parables as the other Gospels? Do you have any thoughts about it? Hmm. Yes, Scott.
Well, in general, Mark doesn't feature nearly as much extensive speeches of Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's more action-focused. Mm-hmm. And so for that reason, he also includes fewer parables because mm-hmm. that's not really his focus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, Scott. So it does seem like he was trying to go to the point and maybe just leave what was essential there, even in the teachings of the parables. So maybe, just maybe, some of the parables we are going to study today, they may be extra special, right, in some way, for at least at the ears and here under the inspiration of God to Mark, right? Mm-hmm. So we already considered how important were the parables in the teaching of Jesus. They were essential, just as Pastor Derek was highlighting. We already considered here that as even though there is not as many parables in the book of Mark, still they may be very important,
right,
that we want to give attention to them. So now we are going to go back to the question. I think that Puya and Gladys were already kind of hinting on it. So what's actually then the reasons why Jesus would use parables when sharing truth with his hearers? Mm. Yes, Anjali.
For me, I found this one a little bit interesting because to some extent, he uses the parables to conceal. Mm-hmm. And to some extent, he uses the parables to reveal. Mm-hmm. Those who had receptive hearts, those who wanted to know God, they would get the meaning of what he's saying, of what he was saying. But those who were against God, the truth was, it was more like a stumbling block. They couldn't understand. They couldn't see further beyond that.
Very good point. Exactly, Zanjili. I love that you brought that up because indeed, sometimes, you know, we think that it was the case only that Jesus was trying to make it simple for someone to understand. And the fact is that I believe from what we are going to continue studying here, that he was trying to trigger something further. It was not just to make it easy to understand. In fact, for some people, it became harder to understand, right, Zanjali? And I see, Jorge, you also have your hands up. Do you have something to add to that?
Yeah, something that is also interesting is he's used parables because he was able to extract object lessons that people were constantly interacting with on a daily basis. So the lessons he would teach would be constantly brought to their remembrance every single time they were doing whatever type of activity. And so it was a means where anyone was going to be able to be exposed to those messages, those teachings on their day to day.
Mm. Okay, so we have here a group of people who are insisting the importance of how that was maybe easier to remember or easier to maybe to relate to potentially. But we also caught a point here from Zanjali that maybe it was not just about the easiness of it. And I think you have something further right there,
yeah,
Jonathan.
Just on that point, I'm like, he had some tough things to say that people were not necessarily willing to hear. I mean, if he said everything he needed to say in the first week or two, he would have been crucified fairly quickly. Right. And so he took his time and hid the truths in ways that people might be willing to listen to.
Thank you so much for bringing that up. And I think that furthering your point, what about we turn here to the book of Mark chapter 4, verses 10 and 12, and I think we are going to further understand this point that Jonathan is bringing up. Maybe Pedro, could you lead us there, verses 10 to 12?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Mark 4, 10 and 12. It says, "But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, 'To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things comes in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins and be forgiven them.'"
So do you have further thoughts now after reading these two verses here? Anyone would like to share? Besides, you know, the maybe easiness to remember the message, is there something else that Jesus wants to convey? Yes, Jeffrey.
Yeah, so basically what we just read, it seems that it's leading people to forgiveness. That, and like what we were talking about previously, it either hardens your heart or softens your heart. Mm-hmm. but it just takes time. And I think that's what the whole repentance and confession and renewal is, a process. And that's what, through these stories, dissecting them, thinking about them, putting them in our hearts, this is what it leads to.
I see, yeah. I want to pick back also a little bit on what Jonathan and Zandile has shared with us, and consider what we studied in our previous lesson. You know, we just spoke about how controversial Jesus sometimes could be when he was relating the truths that he had to share became an offense to many. You know, how is it that in knowing the true God and the mercy and the compassion that he had for others, eventually that caused people to want to kill him? Okay, at the end of chapter 3, if you look a little back, what is it that they had just started to do after those events in the healing of the paralytic? They plotted for what, Puya?
To kill Jesus, basically, to destroy him.
Exactly. So the truths that Jesus had to convey were becoming an offense to the hearers. Yes, Pedro?
Well, going back to the story that you started today, you call everybody lazy that don't want to do the work. So you can see here, it was through the story, it says, you know, the daughter wanted the boat. And the father is telling, I don't want you to be a lazy woman or kill yourself in many ways. But he was calling herself lazy.
Yeah.
So we see here, God is giving parables. And looking to verse 12, he's quoting from the Old Testament. And we see that God on the Old Testament, the people in the Old Testament, they are stiff-necked people. They're stubborn. And God knew they're stubborn. And if they reveal every single thing to them, they will either persecute him. And obviously, he's trying to help them to be saved.
Right, exactly. God is trying to steer in them curiosity, interest that was lacking enough for them to see the truth about Jesus. Right. So it was not just to make it simpler. In fact, it was to confront some of them to start thinking. Because it seems like, from what we have seen before, it was not lack of information that they had, right? They had plenty of information. Let me tell you, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they didn't really need like an easier way to understand something. They had that for years and years and years. But there was something further that Jesus needed to stir up in their hearts so that they could fully comprehend the message. And that was less, at least, a matter of intellectual abilities, right? And more a quest of heart. Yes, Jonathan.
Yeah, I think of the time where the guy comes and asks him, who is my neighbor? And there's more to the context of the story, but he tells this story that it's hard. It was hard for him not to agree to it and to like be convicted. And so I think through the stories, God is able to convict people in ways that maybe a direct telling would be ignored.
Right. Thank you so much. I think we can move then to our first parable of today, because now that we have already determined the importance of it to Jesus, how much he used it in his teachings, and also have understood a little better the purpose why he was using parables, that was not just to reveal things, but even to conceal in some level and get people to turn to the point that they needed to, you know, encounter further God because he was a lifeline to them. Let's look then at some of those parables, because we can also learn something there that maybe have been concealed to some of us. Okay, so maybe I'm going to have Shayna, if you can lead us into Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 9. We are going to be looking at the parable of the sower. That's a very important parable. Can you lead us there?
Sure, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Okay, thank you so much, Sheila. So what are some of the important truths here that we can already learn from this parable of the sower? Any thoughts, Jonathan?
Yeah, examine your heart. There's so many things in this story that give us pictures to look at. Like, oh, am I like that? Do I have too many rocks in my soil, too much other things growing in my field that I need to let God remove?
Okay, so it seems like this is a parable. Mm. And in fact, that's the first parable. So that's the parable that is initiating this chapter with parables. Mm. It is giving us somewhat a teaching already about how important it is the condition of our heart, more than just the information or the knowledge we have about the scripture, right?
And I think the whole picture of the growing of the gospel message in us and spreading to others as well. I mean, plants reproduce. Mm-hmm. So we should be reproducing.
Right. Gladys, I saw your hand up.
Yeah. He was just exemplifying, you know, the truth and the type of people that were surrounding him, listening to him. Mm-hmm. And like Jonathan was saying, he wanted them to think about themselves and said, which one am I? And I'm pretty sure that there were farmers in that group, sure, that they clearly understood, you know, the planting of the seed, the growing of the seed and the different type of soils and preparing the soil for the planting. So it was very relevant to them, but at the same time, it was an opportunity for them to reflect on their own lives.
Right. Mm-hmm. And what is the significance from considering what Gladys has shared and also Jonathan has shared in this conversation? What's the significance then that this parable is mentioned in three of the synoptic gospels? Like, why do you think it's so important? Yes, Scott.
It's one of the more notable parables, I suppose, you know, one of the more important ones. And to me, it shows how each of us responds to the gospel in a different way. There are lots of ways God has to work with us in individual ways. And some of our responses are good, and many of them are, you know, need some correction. And so Jesus is telling us that. And so he has to explain, and we see in the three different gospels.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yes, Pedro.
I see here the importance of disciple. Jesus is making disciples here, and he's telling us to go to the world. And he says, don't be focused on the fruits of the work, because I'm taking care of that, but go out there and sow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we are going to be looking. Derek, I saw your hand up here.
So I would like to say that Jesus is hoping everyone will say, how can my heart be good soil? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because how many does he want to be saved?
Oh, yes.
And sure, some will go, I'm hardened path, or I'm rocky, or I'm full of choking weeds. Mm-hmm. But hopefully, and I think the reason that Matthew, Mark, and Luke record the parable is because they recognize, guided by the Holy Spirit, that this is a crucial question, because only if my heart is good soil will I accept Jesus as the true Messiah.
That's very right. Much, and I love your bringing that up. We're going to look further in the explanation, because Jesus does give an explanation of the parable to his disciples, the ones that, you know, take the step to ask him the answers for that. So maybe Puya, can you lead us to Mark chapter 4, verses 13 to 20? And then we are going, after that, be considering further some of the important lessons that we can learn.
Sure, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word immediately, receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100.
Thank you so much, Puya. Yes, Jonathan.
Yeah, I can imagine them after the years after this, as they're going out and evangelizing and thinking, as you deal with people, like, man, that so describes this person. I mean, like, it gives this picture of trodden ground. And, you know, there's so many things in this world, so many things that can come through and can trod our hearts and minds. So there's nothing left to respond to God. I mean, like, what do we have left? Everything else has run through our hearts. There's nothing left to respond.
So it seems like a lesson or something important that we are learning here was not just applicable to the very people that he was in immediately contact with, because this was really much about them. Okay, it was about the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and the people who were following Jesus. But it could also be applicable for us even today, as we consider connecting with individuals as we lead them into a journey towards knowing Jesus, right? Jorge, what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, so just a couple of things real quick. One is part of the earlier question regarding why the use of parables and why this is the first parable used. It says in verse 11, "Unto you," from the King James Version, "unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God." Jesus used parables so that he could teach the kingdom of God, so people would have a kingdom mindset, so that they would know it's not, we're looking up not just for Jesus, we're looking up also to know that there's a better home. And I'm going to show you through these different parables. And the first one he gives is this. And as he goes to explain with the disciples what each of these components mean, we realize the second part being that the seed was cast no matter what the soil was. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we get in the way when we're going to spread the gospel, which we learned through the interpretation that the seed was the word of God, that, oh, well, their hearts are not ready yet, so I'm just going to wait. No, that's not our responsibility. That's God's task. Mm-hmm. What we need to do is just spread the word, and the seed will fall as it falls, and the Lord will prepare the soil as he needs to prepare them. But we just need to just pass the seed and have people move into having that kingdom mindset.
Well, yes, Derek.
Mm-hmm. Sabina, I learned something really important in the verses that we just read, and that is that there is an intended meaning for each of the parables of Jesus.
Right.
I don't think that's an insignificant lesson. Well, whatever you want to get out of it. No. The seed is the word.
Right.
And here are the conditions of people's hearts.
Right.
There actually is a message to be communicated. So I think every time, I know we're looking at many parables, it's not like whatever you want to get out of it. No. What is Jesus intending to communicate? Because he does have a message embedded there.
He does. I love that you are sharing that, because here is the point. This group of people here that Jesus was addressing, they had their hearts hardened, right? Just as Jesus quoted here previously from Isaiah that we saw. The fact is that the more truth they were receiving, this was actually hardening further their hearts. So it was not just enough for him to continue saying things to them, to inform them or doing signs. It seems like there was a heart surgery that was needed. And it seems to me like Jesus was trying to possibly incite some of that surgery to start happening, to get them in a different space in their hearts, in their minds, to seek further. And I would like us to consider then, maybe some of you have experienced being hardened in your hearts to God's word.
Wow.
I don't know if that's been the case for you, that you've had found an offense in the Bible towards you. That instead of, you know, willing to adore and worship the God of the Bible, you're actually willing to see the God of the Bible bending to your wills and your desires. I don't know if you have any experience to share with us. I know that's a difficult situation, but we would love to hear if there is a time where God was able to change your heart in a specific request. Yes, Gladys.
For me, I think the hardest lesson and the hardest struggle for me has been fully trusting God and his word, you know, that he will do what he said he will do. You know, sometimes we say, oh, I will not fear, or Jesus loves me. But when the situation comes, just like in the parable saying, when the struggles of life come, would the birds eat the seed from my heart? Would the thorns just quench that? So that is my biggest struggle. And every situation that comes in my way, you know, just learning that it is just through the help of the Holy Spirit that you can overcome those troubles that come with you, mm-hmm. and you just continue believing in the Word of God. Mm-hmm. So it's only this Holy Spirit that can do that.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Gladys. Yes. So as we continue looking at the next parables, we are going to confirm what Gladys is saying. It is possible, yes, through the work of the Holy Spirit, but there needs to be a certain attitude, and that's and it's about this attitude that Jesus is here trying to teach us about. So maybe, Raquel, if you lead us to Mark 4, 21 and 23, and we are going to look at a different parable here, and that's the parable of the lamp.
It's Mark 4, 21 through 23. I'll be reading from the New International Version. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear."
Okay, so what important lesson in the context of what we're discussing here, what important lesson can we learn from this parable of Jesus? Yes, Pedro.
We need to shine the light of God wherever we go, and trying to hide it is ineffective. We see here, and we're probably going to see throughout the other parables, the importance that Jesus is trying to bring discipleship into the heart of the man. Mm. I have called these people, Israel, right, to go to the world and share the gospel. And Jesus is calling them out. Says, "You, how many years I have been preparing you for such a time as this? Are you ready for it?"
I see. Mm. Yes. Shana, do you have any thoughts?
Yes. Yeah, so it further amplifies the point that Jorge made earlier, that we should just share the gospel wherever, being people who are blessed to have the light, to have the knowledge that we have. Our responsibility now is to ensure that this light is being shown or being shined everywhere that we go. And then the matter of whether or not people receive it depends on what soil their heart is. But our responsibility as people who have the light, as candles, are to just shine the light.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love what you brought up, Shana, because the Bible does say that the light of word is Jesus.
That's right.
You know, the people that Jesus encountered in that context to which he was speaking to, they should know better. Mm-hmm. They should see in Jesus, just like we saw the demons announcing, that he was the Holy One of God, mm-hmm. right? And so I see here in this parable, and we are going to keep moving further because we have a couple more, that there is a special lesson that God is giving, is that even though it sounds that it seems like this, there is something concealed here, the desire of God is that each and everyone will come to the knowledge of Jesus.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
His desire was not to make it harder for the people that were around him and to just kind of make some sort of tricky situation to include them there. Instead, as we were saying, he was trying to do some sort of surgery in their heart and reminding them that it was self-evident. Many of them, they were asking for further signs from God, right? Mm. And here, what we see is that the one who has ears, they should be able to hear because the light was exposed. Mm. Yes, Jonathan.
Yeah, it just seems like on that point that this is a promise in some sense, for nothing is hidden except to be made manifest. It is nothing is secret except to come to light. If anyone has ear, let him hear. Like if you're willing to hear, these truths will be made manifest to you.
Exactly. There is, again, a necessity of an attitude of the heart, right? It's not that God is trying to make it hard, but you need to put the work of coming close to him, right? Yes, Derek.
And, you know, Jesus, as you mentioned, says, "I am the light of the world."
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So actually, if you're really listening, it says it should come to the light. He's saying, you need to come to me.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't he say that in John?
Yes.
You refuse to come to me that you may have life.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So in this story, he's saying, really, in a parable, I am the light and you need to come to me.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because it's not just information to convey.
No.
It's a relationship to find.
Yes, that's very important. Yes, Puya.
And, you know, something about light is that light dispels darkness.
Mm-hmm.
So the closer we come to Jesus and understand his character and the truth, then it pushes out all our false understandings of who God is like.
Right.
And the more we know this, you won't be able to hide it. You know, putting it under like a basket just doesn't make sense anymore.
Right.
You know?
Yes, thank you so much, Puya, for sharing that. Because that's exactly what happens, right? As we come closer to Jesus, as we incline our hearts to Jesus, those truths that he has to reveal, they will become self-evident.
That's right. Yeah.
Like many times, it's not just a matter of you, and I would like to speak also to our listeners, it's not just a matter of you going to a church sitting and watching a person, you know, speaking, maybe a pastor, a nice speaker. If you don't have the right inclination in your heart towards receiving and knowing Jesus, things may actually become more confused to you. And that's very unfortunate. And that's exactly what was happening to the people in the time of Jesus. You know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, of anyone, they were the ones that they have the storage of wealth of knowledge and understanding and resources that it became inexcusable to them not to know God. So maybe you have been attending church, you've been participating maybe in services, but I want to ask that question to you. Have you came to know the light of Jesus? Have you really came to spend time to learn this light of God and transform and let it transform your heart? And not only the heart of someone that has something informing their head and their mind, but also that is changing to their actions, into their experience, in their closeness to God. Because none of us here, my friends, is exempt from the danger of having a heart that is a hard soil.
That's right. Right?
The fact that we are attending a service or even seated here doesn't make of us necessarily followers of Jesus. And here Jesus is trying to reveal this message. His light is widespread, but it's up to us, each one of us, the capacity to respond to it.
But you know, the New Testament, Sabina, is full of hearts that are changed from hardened or rocky or thorny soil into good soil. So again, you know, talking to our Hope Sabbath School family, someone might say, I feel like I'm being choked. But the good news is that there were other people in the scriptures who were just like that.
Right.
And yet it is possible to ask Jesus to change your heart.
And he wouldn't even bother leaving all those messages and insisting if he didn't knew that this could be actually the point for some of them to change their minds.
Right.
Okay, that curiosity to be triggered. Pedro, we need to move further to the next parable, which is the parable of the measuring basket. So if you could take us there, that's the parable that we are going to find in Mark verses 4:24. Would you read that for us, please?
Yes, I'll be reading from New King James Version. Matthew 4:24, and it says, then he said to them, take heed what you heard or what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given.
Okay, so how does a generous measure reflect the character of our Creator and the Redeemer? And again, considering the context we are discussing, this great measure. Yes, Jonathan.
I guess I have a question. What is the picture being shown here? Is this a measure of, like, I guess I'm wondering, is this pay attention to what you hear with the measure? Is that like the collection you, like what you, like if you really listen, you'll collect a lot. Like, and the more you pay attention, the more you're willing to collect in your mind, the more you'll have? Or what is it?
I think you are on to something. Before I answer your question, I want to see what Scott has to share.
I was thinking of some kind of scoop, like, you know, when you're making some kind of food, you can scoop something out. And do you fill that scoop all the way full? Do you heap it up over top? Do you have just a little bit in there? How eager are you to get what's in there? And, you know, maybe a generous measure, like, I'm going to get everything I can out of this. Or, you know, I'm going to be stingy and just take the bare minimum.
Yes, there.
I love the story of Boaz and Ruth. Because if you read the story in the book of Ruth, like, he's dumping huge amounts of grain. You know, what's he doing? He say, leave extra, you know, just pile it over, give her extra bags. The answer is, his generous measure is motivated by love, right? And if this story means anything to me, it's like when I'm sharing the goodness of God and the truth about God, if I'm really motivated by the love of God, I'm not like, you can have a little bit, you know. Literally, it's like as much as I can get out there.
Right.
I think, now what does that mean that the same measure will come back to you? Mm-hmm. Doesn't Jesus say somewhere else, given, it will be given back to you, pressed down and running over? Because as I generously share the amazing truth about Jesus, my own experience with Jesus grows.
Amen. Exactly. So the more,
it's a beautiful picture.
For that one who gives, more will be given, right? Like there is that, definitely that dynamic. Yes, Raquel.
I will say, in my few years of life, I've waiting to see and experience this, but I wanted to share actually about my mom, who has been a long time in the church. And even now she keeps growing older, she testifies to the truth behind this, because we moved churches a few years ago, and it's a new environment for her, an English church, and that's her second language. And she tells me how she, you know, she talked to the Lord and said, I want to help, I want to be of service, but I don't know how. And this happens when you open up your heart and say, God, use me even a little bit, he'll take it to the extra measure. So she started saying, let me meet up with a couple of women at home to just do prayer time. I saw in a year my mom go from a couple women to like 10 women coming to the house. And she turns to us and says, this was not the plan. I never imagined this to happen. But when you open up a little bit, or when you say, God, I only have 10 minutes this morning, but I need to put you first. He will take that further. He will give so much more to you, more than you ever imagined when you give him what you have.
Praise God.
Yeah, and I think that's a wonderful testimony, Raquel, because indeed I also see that as being the character of God. Yes. God, he is a giver. Even as we consider again this situation they were living, he was not trying to conceal. He wanted to reveal himself. Right, Jesus is the greatest revelation of God. So he wanted abundance to them, but there was still that element, right, of the heart that needed change. And maybe Pedro, to complete the reading that you had, would you please read for us also the verse 25?
I'll be reading verse 25, and it says, for whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him.
Would you be able, if someone has any thoughts, how would you explain then this startling comment of Jesus? Yes, Puya.
You know, back to, I think this connect to Jonathan's question, it seemed to me like the emphasis here is on receiving side too. It's like when we're saying the measuring basket, I'm thinking of our heart as the basket, like how much space am I willing to open up to receive? And so the more I open up my heart, the more the size of my, you know, the opening of my heart becomes, the more God can pour, you know, his truth into my heart. Yeah. In the same way, on the flip side, the more I share, the bigger the space becomes for that knowledge of the truth of God's light. Right? So I think it's both sides. But if you don't have, if you don't even want to open up space in your heart, it's almost like saying you will lose it.
Yeah, and I think that going along with what you were sharing, Puya, not only you lose it, but I don't know if you had that experience already when someone is trying to share something with you that is very important and is truthful, but you don't want to hear it. And the more the person says something to you again and again and again, the least you want to hear. You know, where your heart was getting harder and harder. So it seems to me like Jesus is giving another invitation to say, hey, open your hearts to see the blessing that I have for you. But be attentive, because if you continue, you know, hardening your hearts, the more you're going to listen my truth, the least you wanna hear. So it is, again, another alert from Jesus along the same lines. Can you see that evolution? How he's connecting more and more the importance of being a receiver with a big basket, right, Puya?
You know, Sabina, that reminds me in the story of Stephen, the deacon. He's testifying about Jesus, and it says they stopped their ears and they ran at him.
Right.
They didn't want to hear it.
And they killed him.
Right.
But you're talking about that dangerous place of hardening the heart. And literally in that story, it says, they literally stop their ears. And of course, once we stop our ears to the truth about Jesus, we can act like a follower of the devil.
Right.
Who was a murderer from the beginning.
Yes. And all Jesus wanted, again, is to convey this message that was truthful and beautiful. And he wanted to make it disclosed. But it seems like that he was even worried that depending on how he's sharing it, the people who already have their hearts hardened, it would be even worse to them, right? Mm-hmm. So there needs to be a care about that. Yes, Leah, I see you have your hand up. What would you like to share?
As we're studying about this, I can't help but think about the parable in Matthew 25 about the master that gives talents to some of his servants, and one of them just puts it away and doesn't do anything with it and kind of squanders it, and then the others are able to go out and maximize on what their master had given them. And I feel like the measure is kind of like that, in the sense that we are given this wonderful gift by God, and if we are not going out and sharing it and maximizing the kingdom with what God has done for us, then we're just wasting it and we're squandering it away, and we're not true believers. You know, like Derek just said, you almost become kind of a servant of the devil then, because you're not truly following God and you're not truly being a light either. Like we said earlier, you know, you go into your kitchen, you turn on a light, and what's the point in covering that up?
Thank you so much, Leah. I know this is a very interesting conversation, and I had seen a couple more hands up. But I would like to move forward to the next parable, because there is still more two parables in this chapter, and they complement what you've been already discussing, okay? So maybe if I can have Zandili, would you please read for us from Mark chapter 4, verses 26 and 29, the parable of the growing seed.
So, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. It says, "And he said, the kingdom of God is as a man who scatters seed on the ground, and shall sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed shall sprout and grow. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come."
Thank you so much. So think about the condition that they were living. You know that there was this hardening of the heart. And we've already discussed that part of the issue, it seems like it was not just what they knew, it was in their heart. But a question can come, is like, what is it that they were actually wanting that Jesus was not offering, that was making them want to be oblivious or not listen to what he had to share? And one of the things that we are going to learn is that Jesus, he came presenting an upside down version of the kingdom. They had expectations about the kingdom that were different than what Jesus was introducing, right? And here in this parable, I would like us to be considered, then, what are some of the important lessons that we can learn in that context? Is that something that it speaks to this kingdom of God? Yes, Scott.
The thing that really strikes me about this parable is the fact that God's work in our lives, to transform our lives, is something that we don't control. We don't make it happen. We don't tell God how he should work in our lives. God does things the way he's going to do them. And if we allow him to, if we're merely cooperative, it's going to produce amazing results.
Okay. So, Pedro, do you have any thoughts?
God is telling, trust in my process, because I'm doing the work of salvation. And you see here the aspect of the kingdom of God, scatter seeds. You know, he's inviting here to the parable to scatter seed, to let the light shine. You know, I see like a growing experience. God wants us to share the seed, let the shine of God's glory of our life to share in a lot of people's lives, so the ministry can grow and the harvest will come by God's grace.
Yes, there.
And you know, back to what Jorge said earlier, that it's not even our responsibility to choose where to sow it. Because the truth is, we don't really know which heart is good soil, right? I mean, we see people that say, no way. And they become preachers and Bible teachers and missionaries.
Yes.
So our responsibility is to sow the seed.
Right.
And as Scott pointed out, the miracle of changing hearts, that's God's work. That growth, it's not the sower's work.
Yes.
But unless we sow the seed, the miracle doesn't happen.
Right. And I think that a very important lesson then that we can take from that also, Derek, is that we need to be accepting and understanding to see the growth that God is giving and recognizing it as being a godly work. You know, unfortunately, the growth that God was giving to the kingdom in their time was not being seen. No, they were rejecting to see the growth of the kingdom right in front of them. And they instead were craving and desiring things that were not really what Jesus had to propose. Jesus was saying, and we were going, even if you look in the next parable, it says that it was like a grain of mustard that would cause a great revolution eventually. And the people, what they were waiting for and what was deafening them was because they wanted something different. So, you know, even as we come to the end of our study, this has been like a beautiful conversation here. I would like to lead us all and make a question. You know, what are some of the things that maybe you've been wanting or craving that they may be actually leading you to desire otherwise than God would? You know, maybe those desires and those wants are the things that are blinding you to see the miracles and the blessings that are right in front of you. So as we consider, you know, those parables and the ways in which Jesus is trying to capture your heart to build the boat of safety, I want to, you know, invite you also who are watching us and each one of us here in the panel to, you know, assess our hearts and see in which ways we can align our wants and desires to be like the desires of the kingdom of God. You know, it may look like a mustard seed, and that's different maybe than what you desired. But that proportion of the growth that God is going to give is way beyond what you can ask or imagine. So I invite you to that reflection, and thank you for that opportunity to share with you as well.
Thank you so much, Sabina. Yes. You know, I just started gardening, and when I plant a seed, I'm always amazed when it pops up out of the soil. And I'm not much of a gardener, but this much I know. If I don't plant the seed, nothing pops up out of the soil. And I want to encourage you to go back to these parables that we've looked at in the Mark chapter 4. I mean, it's amazing. Compact teaching. And with an open heart, as Sabina's been sharing, just say, God, let my heart be good soil as I read these parables. You've got lessons for me that will change my life. Will you do that? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we want to thank you that your word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. And most of all, Jesus, you are the living word. So help us to listen to your teachings, and may the Holy Spirit make our hearts into good soil that will be receptive to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. You say, Derek, I've got so much to learn. Yes, but let Jesus be your teacher and then go out and be a blessing to those around you.